think we would all agree that the world in general thinks that followers of Christ are a little bit odd, a little bit crazy. I mean, think about it. We believe that God has spoken to us through men we've never met, but through these men, he's revealed himself with all the things that we need to know for our spiritual good. We believe that by faith. We believe in a Savior. We love him, though none of us have ever seen him. And we believe that by trusting him for the forgiveness of our sins, he gives us new life. He gives us eternal life. And then we believe that at the end of this life, because of our faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, one day we will be with him through all eternity. Wow. So the world looks at us and said, wait a minute. You people are kind of odd. But in every generation, that's how it's always been by the how the people of God have lived, by faith. Here's how faith operates. God speaks. Today he speaks through his word, the completed revelation. God speaks through his word. We hear it. Something inside of us is stirred, and then we move out in obedience. As the song we just sang about is, we trust and obey. Because Christianity is not just mere talking, but Christianity is walking with God by faith. A few weeks ago, we began looking at a section in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And the Hebrews were mainly Jewish background. And some of them were beginning to doubt Christ and his promises. They were looking maybe to go return back to the Old Testament rituals and rules and regulations. And so the author reminds them all those things were mere shadows. Jesus is the substance. You need to continue to endure, he tells them, to persevere, not quit, not give up. They needed their faith to be strengthened. And I believe in our world today, because of the great fear that has gripped us, we too need people of faith today. People who will trust and obey. And I can't think of a better way of growing in faith than to be with people of faith, to look at examples of people of faith. And that's exactly what Hebrews chapter 11 gives us. It gives us spiritual heroes, the hall of faith. We looked at a few weeks ago a man named Abel who worshiped by faith. Enoch who walked by faith. And Noah who waited by faith, worked by faith. Today we're going to see Abraham. And Abraham is the father of all of those who have faith. The Bible presents Abraham as the ultimate example, the prototype of faith, the pattern of faith for all people of faith, for all ages and places. Paul writes this in Romans 4:16. To those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, spiritual father of all who have faith. Galatians 3:6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it's those who have faith who are the sons of Abraham. We're going to see today Abraham's faith. He heard God speaking. His heart was stirred. He trusted God, and then he obeyed by following after God. And we're going to learn lessons of faith from Abraham that are going to be built around three incredible scenes in Abraham's life. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 19. We'll start with verse 8. Here's the first lesson. Obey even when you do not know where God is taking you. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. This is the first of three incredible events in Abraham's life. Abraham's about 75 years old. He lives in a place called Ur, U-R. Ur is in modern day Iraq, between the Tigris and Euphrates River. And the scripture is very clear that Abraham was a pagan. He didn't know the one true God. But he was called. Now, why did God call Abraham? Was Abraham better than everybody else on the planet? No. God called Abraham purely out of his own sovereign grace. His own reasons that are only known to him, that he would choose this man and call this man to be the father of all who have faith. Before this took place, Abraham didn't know the one true God. So Abraham hears God's call, and he obeyed by going out to a place not knowing where he was going. God called, and Abraham started packing. This is incredible. I mean, if I went home today and told Laurie, hey, start packing up the house, we're moving. Where are we going? Not sure yet, but I know it's time to move. What faith? Obviously, God so spoke to Abraham that it wasn't just an hallucination or some imagination. But Abraham knew that God was speaking to him. And he says, you just start going. I'll tell you when you get there. What incredible faith. But listen, when God calls you, he has the right to redirect you. Not that I want to in any way compare myself to Abraham, but I look back on my life. When God's Spirit worked in my heart and drew me to Jesus Christ, he began to change me. He began to redirect me. The things of my old life, I could not continue to live in some of those ways that I was living. And he has the right to everyone he calls to do the exact same thing, because you've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin if you know Christ, and now you're his under new ownership. So he begins to redirect Abraham's life. Verse 9. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. God made a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. We call it the Abrahamic covenant. Now, Abraham and Sarah had no children at this point. But God tells Abraham, making three promises to you. Number one, I'm going to give you this land that I'm going to show you. It's going to be yours for your descendants. Number two, I'm going to make your descendants more numerous than the stars that you can count. And number three, I'm going to bless the world through you, Abraham. So Abraham goes. It says that he was an alien, a place where he was not comfortable there. It was a foreign land. It was away from where he grew up, from his home. But he obeys. And he dwelt in tents, that is the impermanence of his living. During Abraham and Sarah's lifetime, they never owned a piece of property that God had promised to them. The only thing that they owned at the end of their life, each of them had a plot where they were buried. But God said, this is yours. Now, it's not that he wants you and I to live in tents necessarily. It's okay to own a home. But the reason he wanted Abraham to know there's something even better, Abraham. Your time on this earth is temporary. Verse 10, for he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. God's ultimate fulfillment, his ultimate promise was a heavenly one. So too with us. This world is not our ultimate destination. We have a better destination. So what about you? Are you open to where God might want to take you? Are you open if he wanted to maybe move you to a different time zone? Or how about just to a different comfort zone? He might be calling you to give up some of your security to follow after him. Don't ever say, well, I'll never do that, and dig your feet in. Right here from my own church, back in the fall, Andy and Jackie and their 5 children left Covington, where Andy grew up, his home church, and moved to Africa to be missionaries. Wow, that's amazing. All of us are so proud of them. But that was God's call in their life. God's not necessarily calling you to go to Africa, or maybe calling you to go to some other exotic place, but he might be calling you to go somewhere that he's put on your heart, that you know it, but you've resisted it. Be open to God's calling in your life. Well, here's the second lesson from Abraham's life. Obey even when you do not know how God's will is going to be accomplished. Verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. First incredible event in Abraham's life was that God called him from a pagan country and said, Abraham, start walking. I'll tell you when you get there, I'm going to give you a new home to go to, a new land where you're going to live. Now, the second incredible event in Abraham's life is the birth of their child, Isaac, when they're way up there in age. Now, God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, your descendants. Abraham was childless. Abraham was about 75 years old when this took place. So Abraham and Sarah waited and waited and waited, and nothing happened. 10 years they waited. Abraham's 85. Sarah's 75. Genesis 16 tells us that Sarah said to Abraham, Abe, it hadn't worked out yet. It's okay if you take my maid, Hagar, and have relations with her. And if a child is born, that will be the child of the promise. That's exactly what happens. Man is born named Ishmael. God appears later to Abraham, Genesis 17, Genesis 18, and he makes a promise to Abraham. Abraham, the promises I'm giving to you are going to be from you and Sarah's physical lineage. Sarah's 89 years old. Genesis 18, 12 says when she heard this, she laughed. 89. Now listen, nobody in this room is 89. I don't know if anybody that old. But some of you ladies can relate to this. Have a child? Impossible. But it says, she received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. God performed what he promised. He gave the strength, but Sarah had to receive the promise by faith. And at first, Sarah's faith was weak. She laughed. But after she has Isaac, Genesis 21, 6 tells us that she learned a laughter of rejoicing. Can you believe this happened? God did this for us. Verse 12. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead as that, as many descendants as the stars of heavens in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Here's how Paul comments on this verse in Romans 4:19, speaking about Abraham. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I'm 99, my wife's 89. He counted them both as, this is beyond us. But God made a promise. He carried it through. Abraham was 100. Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. Verse 20. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham was able to see what God did. And he gave glory to God. His faith was even stronger than before. And because of Abraham and Sarah, millions and millions of descendants have been born to them. Their faith had more impact than they ever thought it could be or dreamed of in their lifetime. They did not know how God would fulfill his promises, but they learned that God is God and nothing is too hard for him. Now, if you're saying, well, I like to do God's will, Lord, give me the steps I need to take. Give me three simple steps to find out your will. Then I will trust you. It's not going to happen. God's way is not, okay, I'll give you three steps, then you go do it. His way is, you trust me. And as you begin moving, then I will show you the next step of faith. Then I will show you how I'll carry out my will. Now again, I'm not trying to compare myself or Lori to Abraham and Sarah. But before we were married, and right after our marriage, even before we talked about it, I said, Lori, I think God might be calling me into ministry. I don't even know what that meant. So I have no idea, but I think God's calling might be for me to do something vocationally for him. She's like, okay, I'm with you. So God began to open up the doors. I was able to go to seminary and then steps after that and went to seminary and still didn't know what I was going to do. And God in his grace and goodness called us back here to South Louisiana, to our home, where we've been. But I had no idea. I just knew he was calling me to do something. How he was going to perform it, I did not know. And it's the same for you. If God's calling you to do something, if you're waiting for the detailed blueprint, you're not going to get it. But if you're willing to trust him, he will provide how he's going to carry out his will. So here's the third thing. Obey even when you do not know when God will fulfill his promises. Verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. All the patriarchs died in faith. None of them saw God's complete fulfillment of his promises. He saw them, they saw them at a distance. They knew that God had promised and that God was trustworthy, so somehow he would do it, but they didn't know when, without receiving the promises. Now think about this. They knew less than we know. We have the completed revelation of God, the Bible. If these men and women of old could endure through difficulty and discouragement, how much more cannot we endure? Who know the promises? We know the ultimate promise of God in Jesus Christ, the ultimate revelation. So just like the Hebrew believers needed to endure, we too need to endure because God is the one who's going to carry out his promises when he sees fit. And it says that Abraham and Sarah saw themselves as strangers and exiles. See, they understood that the promises of God were not ultimately meant for this world to be their home. They knew that God had a better, more enduring place for them. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we are no different. We're called to be strangers and pilgrims. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2. This world is not our final home. We're all passing through. Verse 14. For those who say such a thing makes it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared a city for them. God says this, listen, Abraham and Sarah, if you'd have been homesick for your old country, I'm not going to make you do this. You want to go back? I'm not forcing you. I'll find somebody else. You're free to go back anytime they wanted. But they saw going back could never take the fulfillment of walking with God. And God was proud of them. He's always proud of his people of faith. Even his people who just have a little bit of faith. Remember, he called the disciples and he often told them, you have little faith, but that was his A-team. He loved them and was committed to them as he is with us. But his desire is always, if you want to go back, I don't force myself upon anybody, but if you want the best in your life, you keep moving forward by faith and trusting me. See, living by faith is a whole lot easier when we come to the point and we remember that this world is not our ultimate home. When we remember that this side of eternity, not everything's going to be settled, not every wrong's going to be made right. And I've got to tell you, I've had to remind myself of this a few times in the last few months. So I found myself getting frustrated and angered at the way things are. But God says, wait a minute, whoa. First of all, it's out of your control. But second, be careful here. Because many Christians become frustrated and defeated because their wants, their expectations, and their demands are not met in this lifetime. But deep down inside, the Spirit within us bears witness that there's a better country, a heavenly one, which God has prepared for his people. God is never ashamed of the people of faith. God always fulfills his promises, whether immediately or ultimately. You do not know when God's promises for your life will be accomplished. So keep trusting him in his wisdom and his love while your time on earth continues to go by. A fourth lesson from Abraham. Obey even when you do not know why God is working. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was to him, it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, for which he also received him back as a type. Now, this is the third incredible event in Abraham's life. The first one, he was called in a pagan land. God called him to bring him to another land, to be the father of promise. Second incredible event was when God promised to him and Sarah at their old age to have a child. Now, this third incredible event was this. Would Abraham offer up Isaac, the son that God promised to him, the one through all the promises that God made would be fulfilled? Would he offer him up to God as a sacrifice? All of the future for Abraham was built around Isaac. Of course, Genesis 22 tells us this amazing story, how it takes place. And it's almost as if God's trying to rub it into Abraham. He says, take Isaac, your son, your only son, whom you love. Now, when God tells Abraham this, he tells Isaac, let's go, son. We're going up the mountain to worship. He knows that he's taking Isaac up the mountain to potentially put him to death. Now, Isaac is not a little boy. Isaac's at least an old teenager, maybe in his 20s. Abraham's over 100. Isaac could have overpowered Abraham. But Isaac trusts Abraham. He goes with him up the mountain. And there, Abraham has him on an altar. He takes the knife, is about ready to plunge it into Isaac. And God stops him. And basically says, Abraham, you are a man of great faith. And you've demonstrated it even more so now. Indeed, why he's called the father of all who have faith. He considered it, it says. Abraham considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead. It's a mathematical term. It means to decisively and carefully reason something out. So in Abraham's mind, it's like, wait a minute. God told me Isaac's the son of the promise, but now he's telling me to kill him. How's God going to work this out? Well, maybe he must be able and is going to raise him from the dead. It says he's a type of resurrection. He did not actually die, therefore he was only a type of resurrection. He was offered, not slain. Of course, God provided a substitute for Abraham, and Isaac is a great picture of Jesus Christ, who becomes the lamb who was slain for the sins of the world. So Abraham, in his final act of faith, shows why he is the father of faith. John Bunyan, most of you know, he's the author of Pilgrim's Progress. After the Bible, I don't know if it still is, was the second greatest book, selling book of all time. He lived from 1628 to 1688. He lived in a time in England where there was a civil war going on and kings back and forth. And he lived in a time where Parliament passed an act that the king said you could no longer preach. And Bunyan was a powerful preacher in England. He was sent to jail 12 years for preaching the gospel. Yet there in jail, he persistently demonstrated his remarkable spiritual strength, courage, and endurance. But the most difficult of all was his family. His wife and his four children, especially his eldest child, a daughter, Mary, who was born to him blind. At times, he grew very depressed. He wrote this. I saw in this condition I was a man who was pulling down his house upon the head of his wife and children. Yet, thought I must do it. I must do it. The dearest idol I've ever known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it down from thy throne and worship only thee. As great as Bunyan's family was, it was even greater that he had to follow what God had called him to do. And what God had called Bunyan to do was to preach the word of God. And he could not stop, despite the heartache of being separated from his family. So just like Abraham, Bunyan demonstrated incredible faith. He didn't know why God was doing this. So Abraham, when he's confronted with this promise that contradicts this command, this promise of God and the command of God, he obeyed God in spite of not knowing the why, same as Bunyan did. And all of us, we're all prone to ask God why, right? We probably ask, why this coronavirus, Lord? Why all this is taking place? Nobody knows. Only God knows. And if somebody comes up to you and says, I know exactly why this is taking place, don't believe them. Because there are no more prophets of God today saying, thus saith the Lord. Nobody knows exactly why this coronavirus does, but God does. And so the whys that we ask of God, rarely, rarely do we ever get an answer. So here's what God tells us. Obey God. even when you don't know the whys. And even if you did know the why, you still probably wouldn't understand it. It still would be beyond you, because God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we know the where, the how, when, and why of Abraham's faith. But the most important thing of Abraham's faith is the who. The who. Three times in these verses we looked at, God's name is mentioned. Theos, the Godhead, the Trinity. Abraham knew the most important thing of all. He knew the one true God. How did he know him? By faith. By hearing God speak, his heart was stirred, and he trusted and obeyed. Romans 4:3 says it like this. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, Paul is quoting Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, where it says that God made a promise to Abraham, and he looked at the stars up in the sky, and that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him to righteousness. Abraham's faith is what set him apart. And it was credited to him because Abraham believed what God had revealed. God now declared Abraham in right standing before him, like he does with everybody. Listen, Abraham was just like we are. He was a man with a nature just like we do. He didn't follow God's ways and thoughts, words, and deeds. He broke God's ways. He did things for his own glory. He sinned. He fell short. His works could not save him. But he believed God. He put his confidence in, his trust in what God had said, and God had credited to his account. He put to his account righteousness, goodness. Kind of like, you know, we all do electronic accounts, whether it be credit card, whatever, and all of a sudden you look in your statement, money's gone. Where'd it go? If you get, you know, direct deposit, all of a sudden there's money in your account. Where'd it come from? That's kind of what happened. Because of Abraham's faith, the sins of Abraham were taken away. And because of his faith, God's goodness was now put into its place. And he was called righteous. He was made acceptable, right with God. Now, faith is only as good as the object. Abraham's object was what God had said. Abraham didn't know all about the person and work of Jesus Christ. That was still in the future. That was still fuzzy. But today, the object of faith is the finished work of Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, went to the cross, paid the penalty of sin, and bore God's wrath for all who would believe in him. He rose from the grave in order to give his people life. And now we come to him only by faith. We come to him as beggars with nothing to give to God. The Bible says that all of our works are as filthy rags. We don't come to God with, look what I have, all the good things I've done, God, all my religious works. He says, be gone with that. We come as beggars, acknowledging our sinfulness, that we've all broken God's commandments. In thought, word, and deed. All of us. There's been only one perfect person who's ever lived. And as we come with empty hands, he's the one who fills it up with his grace, with his love. Only by trusting in Christ and receiving the gift of eternal life can one be declared right before God. And so God calls everyone, everywhere to repent. Turn from their sin, to turn to Christ. Because in Christ, he fulfilled God's law perfectly. He satisfied God's law completely. And for the person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God says, I will take your sin and put it to Christ's account as he died on the cross. And now his goodness, I will put it to your account. This exchange takes place because We need a righteousness outside of ourselves, not inside of ourselves. So now God declares the believing sinner as right before him. And if you've done that, he says now that you are a child of Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith because of belief, not of works. What about you? Have you trusted in Christ as your personal Savior? Are you relying on your goodness? Are you relying on what Christ has done? That's the only way. If you've never come to Christ, I invite you. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Come to him now. And the result is, Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, declared right before God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a peace. Before you come to Christ, there's an enmity with God, a separation with God. But when you come to God through Christ, that barrier is broken down. He now receives you as a son, as a daughter. Then Paul says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All your guilt, all your shame has been taken on by Christ. And now God will never condemn you again because your sins were condemned in Christ. And now he sees you, loves you because you're in Christ. I hope you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And if you have, one more thing I want to ask you. Are you continuing to walk with Christ right now by faith? Is there something in your life, maybe some things in your life, that you are just holding on to? You're not letting go. You've got an iron grip on it. And you know God's been speaking to you. Maybe it's a besetting sin. Maybe it's something he wants you to do. Maybe it's somebody wants you to call. I don't know. But you need to turn it over to him. You need to trust and obey because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to be, trust and obey. So maybe there's things in your life like Abraham, how he put Isaac on the altar. You too need to put on the altar. Do you realize that you are a stranger and a pilgrim passing through? Have you forgotten that this world is not your ultimate home where all your dreams will come to fulfillment? That's still waiting for the future. There's a better country for us, a heavenly one, built by the architect and builder, God himself. If all your hopes, all your dreams are built on just this world, you will always be disappointed and frustrated. Walk by faith. Trust and obey. That's what God calls us to do, just like our father Abraham. Let's pray.